very cool to have our next guest in studio, Pat Steinberg, Bruce Dolbiggin, and it just happens to be the...
Oh, I thought you were referring to me.
Well, you're Bruce Dolbiggin.
I thought you were saying it was really cool to have me.
I know. I'm sorry. Who's this guy?
I've seen this guy. I haven't seen this guy in a long time, but I used to see him in his burgeoning radio days.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
We passed each other. Our arcs sort of passed each other.
Yeah, we had our moment.
You were on your way up. I was on my way down.
590, right?
We did 590, yes. We used to host a show with a guy named Steve Paikin, who was a legend in Ontario.
Yep.
And we did a show there, and we'd get there in the morning, and he'd be sitting there under a stack of pizza boxes and
I really would. I was shaky, and it was just a bad time.
Too much coffee. Who did you do the show with overnight there?
Me, Bob Makowitz, and Jeff Merrick. Makowitz is on TSN Radio in Toronto, and Jeff Merrick is, of course, on hockey and whole Sportsnet thing.
Your podcast.
That's right, yeah. So
we hear Off the Ice here every day as well, the little nice set you do.
I just recorded a couple outside, and the guy that brings your beef jerky around, while I was recording it, he just stuffed a whole bunch of beef jerky in my hand, Pauly. So that's going to be Off the Ice on Friday. is me talking to Pauly with a handful, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that I was a vegan, so I don't eat it. But it's so funny.
That is very Pauly.
Beef jerky for all you guys. Take it.
Thanks. Well, you may see we got a little bit sort of already.
Holy smokes!
We're invested.
That's awesome. He was a really nice guy.
We've got a few over there. By the way, we're here with the host of Hockey Night in Canada, George Strombolopoulos, in studio with us. So you are just kind of on a little bit of a milk run here. Hey? You're in Vancouver last night?
Correct. You know what I did? We were asked to go and host Scott Oak and I to host the Vancouver Canucks Fun for Kids Telethon. So we said, all right, let's do it. And while I was out in Vancouver, we started to look around and see, well, what other games are happening? Well, let's go to Calgary. And, I've come here a lot in my life, and I hadn't seen a game here in a minute. Our mutual friend, Aaron Tobin, that's the last time I went to a game in Calgary, was with her. So I said, well, we'll come to a game in Calgary. And then Jen, who I work with, said, there's a game in Winnipeg, and they're playing the Habs. Well, hell, let's go to Winnipeg. And the last time I saw a game in Winnipeg was the first game of the new Winnipeg Jets against the Montreal Canadiens. So it'll be fun. And that's a loud, loud barn. So yeah. I like being in there for that. So just, why not? This is my life. Watching hockey and going and getting on planes.
It's a pretty good life, hey? Are you enjoying this year?
It's fun, man. It's fun. It's a strange change in a way, because so much of the mechanics of the job are exactly the same as I've been doing for the last 20 years. And where we do Hockey Night Canada is on the same street where I did my CBC show, which is on the same street where Much Music was. So I have been on that street for 15, 16 years now in my career. And Hockey Night Canada is across the hall from where I did the talk show. So nothing like that has changed. But it's an adjustment in a lot of other areas. So it's been kind of fun. And you know me, Bruce, I like the craft of this. I love what we talk about, but the craft is as interesting to me, and it's just always nice to get to this age and have this much experience and be able to try something completely different,
sure,
which I like.
Well, and that the whole idea of like getting in on a ground floor with a brand new, like so much new happening with Rogers and NHL deal, that's got to be something that absolutely appeals to you.
Yeah, for sure. It's wild. And you also, I think you have to have the mettle to do it, because once you start something new, and I worked at CBC for years, and people used to complain about Hockey Night in Canada all the time. And then suddenly there's a new Hockey Night in Canada, and then people complain about it again. So it's sort of a very Canadian thing to watch hockey and then whine about it, and whine about the way it's talked about. So we knew that was going to happen, but we knew it was going to come fast and furious. So I think they were surrounded with a bunch of people, and Elliot Friedman, Kelly Rudy, Nick Kyprios, myself, Damian Cox, we're tough enough to take it, because we believe in what we're doing. We want to widen the broadcast up. We want to make it for lots of people and have a lot of fun with it. And we all love hockey so much, and those guys played, and Nick won a cup. So we just sort of embrace the madness of a new season and a build. It's not a rebuild. It's a build. Now, in the audience's mind, it's a rebuild because it's a pre-existing show. But to us, it's a build, and it's nice to be in that.
Well, I can't think of many greater legacy positions in this country. I mean, this is a legacy position that goes back to Ward, Cornell, etc. You're stepping into that.
And Neil Young's dad, Scott Young, even hosted it for a year or so.
You're like stepping into that, and you want to be yourself. You don't want to imitate other people. But that, I mean, there had to be a lot going on about that those first few days, about who am I, how do I present myself, etc.
Yeah, I think I'd sort of decided that I'm just going to be me, because, and that's easier said than done, but I'm in my 40s, and I've done this for so long. I thought, if I change it too much now, mm-hmm, I'm going to fail.
Right.
And I just want to enjoy it. This is the thing that I decided to do. In the very beginning, I thought, oh, God, okay, we have to do this. I have to, like you said, Bruce, I have to change this. I have to add this too. And I thought, no, you know what, man? If I keep thinking that way, I'm going to miss this moment. So there was a moment just before the first Hockey Night broadcast where I was standing in this, we call it Goliath, where that one of the big walls are, and I'm standing on this platform, and I'm about to go to air. And I just took a deep breath and I looked around and I thought, man, this is cool. This is cool.
But you're a crossover guy. I mean, this is the first time hockey has tried to do a crossover.
Yeah,
guy.
Look, and it pisses a lot of people off, and
that's
for sure.
That's why you were brought in. You're a hip guy. Well, you're a guy who has talked to people other than guys who are sweating and wearing helmets.
Right, and I've talked to those guys, too. I think my job as a host, and there's been a lot of people say, well, you know, what do you know about hockey? And I said, well, I know a lot about hockey as a guy who's covered it and a lot about hockey as a guy who loves it, but I'm the host. I'm not the analyst. It's different. In fact, you don't want a host who's an analyst. You want a host who knows how to connect what's happening on the set to the audience. The real star of this show is not even the game. It's the relationship we have with the game. The game only matters because of the way we feel when we watch it. So they wanted to bring in a guy who had the ability to talk to lots of different people, who has spoken to different audiences over time, and who could have fun with this. And I don't need to overly assert myself in the panel, right? I've got these great panelists that I'm working with, so my job is to bring the most out of them.
I'm curious. George Strombolopoulos is in studio with us. You talked about, you know, it pissed a lot of people off when there was that. Like, how did you react? And what were you prepared for that? You were ready for that, knowing that, you know, maybe not the most traditional hockey guy coming in to host Hockey Night in Canada?
But I remember clearly when Dave Hodge was replaced by Ron McLean. And I think what happened was, like, Ron was 26 years old when he took over Hockey Night in Canada, had very little experience. Dave Hodge was, I think, 26 years old as well when he took over Hockey Night. I'm 42. I'm a grown-ass man. So if I overly worry about it, I shouldn't be in this position, right? I'm very chill and zen about the job. So I knew it was going to come. I know so much of the criticism that we get, much of it is just guys who don't like change. Some of it's just people who don't like me, and I can't change either of their realities, so I don't worry about it. I just have to serve the game. Serve the game and serve that relationship. So that other stuff doesn't bother me. But every now and then you read a tweet and you're just like, that guy is a jerk off who doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
But you then very quickly either decide to respond or just move on.
But listen, the big issue for you and the hardest thing for you is that you're a Habs fan. And you gotta...
Okay, but listen, Don Cherry and Ron McLean have been doing Leaf stuff for so long on that show.
And here in Calgary, it doesn't go over very big when that happens.
Isn't that such a Calgary mentality?
Or Edmonton or Vancouver. They feel the same way in Vancouver.
But what's this rumor end called?
The Hot Stove Lounge.
And what's the Hot Stove Lounge? Maple Leaf Gardens. In the original Six era, the Leafs and the Habs were big. Yes, I'm a Habs fan.
So how do you balance it? Is what I'm saying.
I don't worry about it. That's the truth.
Do you have a little graph at the end of the night and say how many Hab references I got in?
No, I don't do that. But I've noticed that when I'm actually on the show, I never have an opportunity to talk about being a Habs fan, which is good.
Yeah.
Where I still feel like a Habs fan is when I'm watching. We all go up to this lounge afterwards, right? Or during the play, and there's 9 or 10 TVs, and we're watching all the games, and we all, you know, watching the games as much as we can so we can talk about them. But I cast my eye to that Habs game quite a bit, and I turn on my NHL app and I watch the Habs game up close on my iPad. And I was thinking about that, wondering how I was going to play that. And I thought, you know what, I'm a fan of this game, and I'm going to be a fan. So I'm going to keep watching the team that I want to watch. And I have to watch a lot of Leaf games. So growing up a Montreal fan in Toronto.
And you have our sympathies.
Right. Well, what a year. I feel like I grew up in occupied territory, right? It's like everywhere I go, it's blue and white. And I'm like, these are not my people. But but I'm used to watching out-of-market games. And I actually think it's good that they hired a guy who grew up in a market rooting for another team. Because I'm used to watching hockey for the sake of it.
Well, how'd you become a Habs fan then?
My dad was an early Habs fan, if we were to do the pop psychology, but I didn't really know my dad. It was my grandfather was a Leafs fan, and my uncle was a Bruins fan, and the guy that my mother married is a guy called Lon, an amazing guy, is a Red Wings fan. So in my family, we didn't cheer with each other. Saturday nights were to cheer against each other, and that's how I grew up a Montreal fan. And, you know, in Toronto at the time, and I'm an immigrant, right, so I was the first person in my family born in Toronto and born in Canada, that the Leafs didn't have a lot of European players, and Harold Ballard was pretty anti-Russians. And in my family, I just thought, well, the Leafs are at that time were racist.
Yeah.
And the Montreal Canadiens actually embraced European players. Yeah. I remember Håkan Lube as a Flame. Like, I respect teams that embrace European players because this is a country of immigrants, at least large parts of it.
Yeah.
And that was always important to
me. Now, the Leafs were the Magic Cakes.
They really were.
They were,
They were. And in Montreal, the Canadians were the Anglos, and the Nordiques were the Francophones.
Yeah.
And I always loved that rivalry because I used to write to the House of Commons when I was 10 and 11 to request the Hansard reports, and I would read them. I love politics, and I've been into it since I was a kid. So to me, the Montreal-Quebec thing, that rivalry was not just about the team. That rivalry was about language and the solitudes and everything. And I thought I did, that really fed me. And the Leafs were so bad in the 80s, man, when I was a kid. They were so bad.
I mean, I was doing a daily beat. Obviously, I was the sports guy for CBC, and we were covering the Leafs on a daily basis. And we'd walk over to see what was going on with Harold Ballard right. that day. Any day, something would blow up. I remember going once, and they were announcing a number one draft pick. I think it was Mirko Fritscher or somebody.
Yeah, Miroslav.
Poor guy sitting in the corner, doesn't know what's... And that day, the report comes out. The RCMP has charged Ballard with having loaded shotguns in his apartment at Maple Leaf Gardens. And the whole press conference blows up with that, and he starts F-bombing us while the cameras are running.
It's hard.
It was a circus.
It is hard to explain to people what it was like in Toronto at that time.
They stunk.
Jeff Merrick on Sportsnet, the famous story is, he worked at Park Lawn Cemetery when I first met him, and I was a movie theater usher, and the first person he ever buried was Harold Ballard.
There you go.
And his joke has always been lots of guys wanted to put him in the ground, and only one guy did something about it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. But, so watching the Habs in Toronto, I watched a lot of Calgary Flames game. And plus, I used to go out all the time, so I would watch the late games. And now I live in the West Coast as well, so I watch a lot of the Western Conference. And that's what I like about it. So I'm a fan of one team, but I actually like watching hockey.
Well, the thing is that I've lived in four NHL cities in Canada, and the thing that strikes me is each one is they're all a different culture. I mean, you were in Vancouver last night. I just did a book, spent 5 years covering the Canucks for 5 years, and about their kind of neurotic, crazy culture. Calgary has its own. Edmonton has its own. The Leafs and the Canadians. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how to always put your finger on each city, but each city is different, and their fans are different.
Because we're not one people. That's what's so wild about this country. It is a regional country, and it's never not going to be a regional country. And all we've ever done is use that to talk about the negatives of it. So the regional part of this country that's interesting is the hockey part. Canucks fans are over the top. Like, Montreal fans and Leaf fans are the same. Completely irrational and completely savvy. That's for real. Yeah. Calgary fans are really, really savvy, but also incredibly...
Traditional,
but they're very suspicious of everybody else. Yeah. It's just like, no, this is Calgary. And I think because you grew up in the shadow of what the Oilers were. And now the Oilers fans, we just all feel for them.
Yep.
How do you like to be
Not
now?
Much, actually.
Well, you guys don't.
Not much, but yes.
But the Ottawa Senators, you know, that team was brutal all year and suddenly out of control. I think it was December 17th. Since December 17th, the Leafs picked up 19 points and the Ottawa Senators picked up 51.
Yeah.
Like, what a run.
Yeah.
That's been on. So every team is weird, man.
And Don's still talking about the Leafs.
The Leafs and the Bruins thing that he does, right? And those guys, they've been covered for so long. Sure. That's what's happened, right? It's not that there's a Habs fan. It's that there's 60 years of Leaf dominance is finally over, you know? And you'd think the people in the West would like that, that at least there's a non-Leaf fan in the spot.
George Strombolopoulos in studio with us, and I'm curious, and a little bit later on, I want to get into some hockey talk with you and talk about your Habs and that type of stuff. But it just because growing up, I'm a Calgary boy, born and raised, and you know, growing up watching much music, and then kind of seeing you throughout. So to see you eventually land at Hockey Night in Canada, I'm curious for you as you were going the other way and you were in music and in politics and on CBC. Like, was this something that was in the front of mind? Was it something that you thought would pop up at any time?
No, you never thought Hockey Night in Canada would become available. But I did work behind the scenes on some of their stuff. You know, when they lost the hockey theme to TSN CTV, it was the team on my talk show. It was those people that found the new song, that organized all the behind-the-scenes stuff. We worked with the sports department, but it was really our crew. We were managing all the competitions, and we were booking artists to kind of help record them. So we were always loosely involved. John Shannon, who you guys know, is, of course, one of the hockey analysts and used to run Hockey Night in Canada. People didn't see it out here, but when I was doing the talk show, John had me. I was one of his panelists on Leafs TV. So I would go on Saturdays on the game days, and I wasn't the host. I was one of the analysts. Damian Goddard was the host at the time, and I would do hockey stuff all the time, and I would pop on the Fan from time to time because I started in sports, right? Mm-hmm. So I my first jobs were in Kelowna doing a rock show, and then I came right back to Toronto to do the Fan, where I met you and Bruce, and so sports has been a part of my life. In fact, most of my friends' families growing up always thought Hockey Night in Canada was going to be the place where I ended up, and my mom showed me a book I wrote when I was four. And it was a book I wrote when I could first write about me. I was doing Hockey Night in Canada. And I forgot about that book until she reminded me. And it's me writing. And I was doing play-by-play and doing the anchor stuff as well. Because I grew up idolizing Dave Hodge. Like, to me, Dave Hodge was this unbelievable. Because you know what? He loves music as well.
Yeah,
so
big,
much.
He's a big hound for it.
Totally. Yeah. And he's edgy, right? Dave's an edgy guy. And I always grew up, and I always wanted to be an edgy guy because I am an edgy guy. Like, you know, we're friendly and lovely, but in a way, come on, you know? And I always liked that about Haji. So I kind of, my mom used to trick me into wearing a tie by saying it's your Dave Hodge tie. So I didn't plan on hosting Hockey Night in Canada, but it's always been a part of my, you know, the show that I wanted to watch.
And still involved, like you're still doing the podcast and you're still doing some, you're doing a lot of things on top. So you're a busy man right now.
That's all I do, man. All I do, because honestly, I look at hockey's different from the music show, but really what all of us in this room do is we're in the business of being good company. That's what we do. Because someone's listening to this right now, driving home and just had a terrible day at work. Our job is to be good company. And our job is to be good company for those who had a great day as well. So when I'm doing the music show, I'm reaching, because people who like hockey also like music, right? Because we're just people. So my whole thing is just be there for people when they're having a day.
Yeah.
Be good company. And I don't mind being busy doing that. I do the radio show out of my house, right? And
yeah.
I put my headphones on, man, and I just flip the switch, and it's music and music, and I love that. And I'm talking, I can talk about hockey or not. Then Merrick and I will do that off the ice radio show. And it's just a way to communicate with each other.
Well, it must be cool, too, because the different mediums, like you're talking to hockey players and GMs and former NHLers, and then the opportunity to talk to musicians. It's probably a different type of interview each time and a different way that you approach each
100%, side. 100%. I don't think that hockey players and, you know, politicians owe us the truth. Entertainers don't. If they give us the truth, that'd be nice, but they don't owe it to you, right? They owe you a good performance. A politician, a CEO, owes you the truth. A hockey player doesn't owe you the truth, but it'd be nice if they gave it to you. Because the truth is, every time a hockey player or any athlete says anything, even remotely interesting, the media just pounds on them and asks them to be dumb and quiet. And
I hate that.
I hate that.
We ask them to tell us stuff, and then as soon as they do, we kill them.
We kill them. Yeah. And I'm not part of that culture. And I think one of the reasons they brought me in was they knew that I have a different relationship with the hockey players. And a lot of it comes from the much music and the radio stuff. A lot of them had grown up either watching it or they know that I'm not out there to sink them. I'm also not out there to pander to them. Uh-huh. My expectation is be a real human being. Be a real human being. Because there's a 17-year-old watching today, and all they care about tonight is this game.
Mm-hmm.
So be a real person. Uh-huh. And I'm luckily the players and the GMs and the coaches have been able to give a little bit of that. Maybe because they know I'm not going to pounce on them over saying too much. It's a weird culture, man, the hockey culture in Canada. And I grew up a fan of it, but we have to create spaces for players to be interesting.
Yeah.
Give you a little more depth, like in terms of your overall feel for, like, give you a little bit more well-roundedness, being able to, you know, you do it from both sides, entertainers and hockey players, like just the overall well-rounded ability to do an interview. Does that help too?
You know, when you see a hockey player in the hallway before a game kicking a soccer ball, staying loose, that's kind of what that stuff is for me. The music stuff and interviewing other people keeps my brain moving. Right, in a lot of different ways, because in sports you have, radio is a beautiful medium for time. Things can breathe, but on TV you're talking. Throw to this over there, later.
Yep.
Puck wall, never do this. You're moving around, and you don't have a chance to really keep your brain moving. It's just focused.
Yep.
And I like that laser beam aspect of it, but I want to remain an interesting, curious person. I never want to be beaten down by the business. So I just develop in different ways and just try to be, you know, curious. Sitting and watching the games with these guys who've played. Holy smokes. The things they see more than any, even Ron McLean told that to me. Ron said, you know, he knows a lot about hockey, but when he sits and watches the game with Don, there's a layer that guys who played this game know that we'll never get to. And fans, with respect to them, are even further removed from it. You know, they'll never get that close to that layer of detail unless they played on a high level, because there's so much stuff that's happening on the ice at a given time that it's wild. It's wild to learn it.
So far in a year, you've interviewed a lot of pretty big names, and you've had a lot. Anything that stick out to you in terms of someone that you've interviewed to this point?
You know, at the very end of the Gretzky interview, Wayne just looked at me and he said, "I like what you guys are doing. This is a good show." You know, and I thought, and he was really, and that's what you want. If you're doing this game, you want fans to like it for sure, but you want Gretzky to like it. And if Gretzky likes it, and if Bobby Orr likes it, then you can feel okay with it. And those guys like the kind of show we're doing. You know what stuck out for me was interviewing Milan Lucic. Growing up a Habs fan and hating the Bruins. And in the modern era, hating Milan Lucic as a player. And really, really my least favorite player in the league. But I know one of the guys on... He's not my least favorite anymore. But I know one of the guys on the Bruins. And I said, we got to get me Milan and do the interview. And Milan said yes. And we sat down, and it was fun to just talk. You know, I gave him the Zen Buddhist bracelet at the end of it, you know, to give, as an offering. But that stuck out to me because, you know, Milan showed the other side of personality. You know, we ask these guys to be brutal on the ice, and then we get mad when they can't turn it off. And I liked seeing the human side of them.
How are you feeling about your Habs going into the postseason? Still a President's Trophy, they might win.
Listen, but I feel about them the way I always do, which is I love the playoffs, but I don't enjoy them because the stress is too high. Every game destroys me. I think that they have the best goaltender in the world, and I think they have a very solid defense, and I think that this year it's wide open, so I don't know. But I wouldn't want to play Winnipeg in the first round. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to play Minnesota in the first round. I really don't want to play the Los Angeles Kings in the first round. I think Calgary could smoke somebody. There are a few tough outs. Yeah, there are.
There's a few tough outs.
It's wide open this year, isn't it?
Think about it if Anaheim takes that top spot. Think about if at one point St. Louis does drop down again. The Blues and the Blackhawks will play in the first round. That's a Stanley Cup contender out in the first round.
Yeah.
The Canucks and the Flames in the first round, which guarantees us at least one team in the second round.
Yeah.
This is the most challenging year to pick. I think Ryan Kessler is going to make a huge difference for Anaheim, you know. But I think Montreal, the goaltending, dude, that's it. Yeah. If your goalie can steal you a series, momentum takes over. Montreal's a better team now than they were last year, and look at where they were last year.
I always typify Montreal. My eldest guy's a Habs fan. He calls me up and he's just ragging on the coach, like hour after hour. And I go at the end. I said, "Ev, what position are you in? We're in first place." I said, "And you hate the coach,
right?
So how does that figure?" And he's so neurotic about it. When the games come on, he does like the Billy Bean thing. He can't watch his team. He has to go out and walk,
yeah,
and then come back for the intermissions and see what happens.
There's large portions of the game I wouldn't watch it.
Too much pressure.
It is way too much pressure. But I think that Therrien's a good coach. It's a question of can he use the players right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the playoffs, what can you do? That's the opening for the Anaheim
Ducks. And if you're healthy.
That's the huge part of
that's
it.
That's the biggest.
You know, the Habs would have been in the Stanley Cup Finals if the Rangers didn't run Carey Price.
Well, I always say that I think the Vancouver Canucks would have won in 11 if they'd stayed healthy. They were missing five starters by the end of the series against Boston.
And they were close, yep, man.
Oh, sure. They were the best team in the NHL that year, and a few things went wrong, and it kept going wrong after that.
Yeah, well, yes. Watching the Canucks this year, it's different. That game they had against L.A. the other day was a real
eye-opener.
Yeah, and it was important because the Kings feel like
they can.
Now,
did you see it in L.A., or you just watch on TV?
I just watch on TV.
Okay.
And to see them not just beat them on the ice, but kind of beat them in the alleys. They needed that emotional game. And I talked to some of the Canucks yesterday, and they recognized, like, we needed that kind of win.
Yeah.
You needed to throw some bodies around.
See, I think the Sedins would be good for you. You know, the vegan and the Zen thing. I mean,
I've interviewed them. They're great.
I know.
I love the Sedins.
They're kind of like those. You'd be like on the same kind of parallel vibe with those guys.
Dude, I'm down.
I can.
You know, George LaRocque, vegan, big fighter. You know, Mike Zygmuntas, Leaf was a vegan.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I like talking to players who want to show why this game's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Sedins have always answered the bell, even when they were struggling. That brutal stuff that happened last year with Tortorella, they showed up. They did the interviews. They did the publicity stuff. They went to the hospitals. They were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I learned about the Canucks this trip is they might have the best relationship with their community of any of the franchises in the NHL. What they do and the way they raise money for kids, man.
They are good at it.
And the way they do it, it's special.
Well, they went from, I think when Mike Gillis took over, they were eighth in individual revenues.
Yep.
And when he was fired, they were second. And that, he spent a lot of time doing those things you're talking about. So the telethon you were on last night,
right,
that was a big effort, a big push by them to do that in the community. But their community is neurotic, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, they're Vancouver. It's Vancouver. That's how it goes over there.
It's flaky.
Final question for you.
Yes.
Should your boy Carey Price win the Hart Trophy?
Yes. If you think that a goaltender should be – it's just like should a pitcher be able to win the MVP in baseball, right, even though they have the Cy Young. Yes, they should. He should win the Hart Trophy. And here's the reason. There's A, he's had a historical season based on numbers. But who would you give it to? There's only one 50-goal scorer. And it's going to be a barely 50-goal scorer in Ovechkin. Who else is the MVP? There's nobody else that's a no-brainer this year. It could have been Tyler Seguin if his year had continued.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody else that is a no-brainer. And Carey Price's year is absolutely nuts. It's been amazing to watch. It's the year of the goaltender, man.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really
I don't know if goalie should win the Hart Trophy.
Well, that's the thing, right? That's the philosophical.
That's the debate.
I'm still not sure.
But who else would get it this year?
For the same reason you said about the Cy Young.
This year might be the year makes the most sense.
I'm not going to complain if he gets it.
And the last time a goaltender won was 13 years ago, and it was Jose Theodore for the Montreal Canadiens.
So it's...
Yes, he edged out a certain Calgary Flame who had a much better year, and certain individuals in the Quebec media didn't vote for Jerome Iginla, which unbalanced the vote.
Listen, you can't... You're blaming the media. It's the media has no power.
The Quebec media.
So they're only the Quebec media when they vote against your guy.
Jerome should have been the Hart winner that year, but anyhow.
He probably should have been.
Thanks for stopping by. That was cool. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man, anytime. Thanks for having me.
He is George Strombolopoulos. Enjoy Calgary. He is the host of Hockey Night in Canada.
We warmed it up for you. Jeez.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the Coop now. I'm going to go get some vegan food here.
All right, man.
Enjoy your day, hey?
Thank
you. And we'll see you on Saturday
and
on
TV. Keep all that beef jerky, please.
We will. And Paulie will be very happy you got the shout-out. Thanks for doing this, George.
Thanks, guys.